Welcome to Coffee with Kim. I'm Kim Kalp, and every week you and I sit down with fascinating, smart, and talented leaders, CEOs, and founders so that we can copy their homework. If someone knows how to do something really well, I want to know what it is and exactly how they're doing it. Get ready for aha moments, gems of wisdom, and little known tips and tricks that we can steal and use in our own lives. If you want to join these conversations and ask these experts your own questions, no point in just me having all the fun. Join us on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern live over on LinkedIn. Hey friend, happy Wednesday. So good to see you. I hope wherever you are that you have something warm and caffeinated in your cup and that you are ready to tackle Q4. I know, it's scary. We are in October. I personally am feeling older and wiser because it is October 8th and my birthday was October 5th. So I am officially 3 days into 40. And you know what? 40 is the new 30. So, or at least that's what I'm telling myself, because so far it feels pretty good. If you are new around these parts, welcome. Cozy on in. We are a pretty fun bunch here. Obviously, I'm a little biased, but we're a pretty fun bunch. We meet here every single Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern. We share tips and tricks and tactics to make ourselves better, and we learn from experts. We learn here live together, which means if you haven't noticed already, the chat is kind of the place to be. A big hi to Jim and Jeff and Giacomo and Shelby. And we got some great people here today. So they're going to be helping you out just as much as Julia and I are. But that's not all. If you have a meeting or something comes up and you have to pop out, no worries. We've got you, friends. This will be on all your favorite podcast networks on Tuesday. So while you walk the dog or fold the laundry or do the dishes, you don't have to miss out. I know, we kind of like that. Sharing is caring. Big hi to Jen. I'm glad that she's able to join us. And Kelly, especially as Jen prepares for all of her book launch stuff, which is really exciting. So as we kind of get into the last quarter of the year, which I know is just like totally the craziest thing ever. But as we start of kind of come in for a landing, if you will, I don't know about you, but I find that the end of the year tends to bring a lot of networking events, a lot of holiday parties, a lot of just holidays in general, both, you know, personally, like with your family or professionally. And so one thing that I try to work on every October, November is really improving upon the way I ask questions, the way I figure things out, again, both on a personal level and a professional one, because again, I don't know about you, but for me, a lot of our clients at the year end, that is when they start setting budgets. That is when things start to kind of the piggy bank refills, if you will, as we launch into 2026. So it's always a lot of conversations with my clients about, you know, what are we thinking for next year? What's on the horizon for you? And, you know, so I always like to revisit how to ask better questions, how to get better pieces of information, how to use those pieces of information to grow my business, make things better, make myself better. And so in my wanderings on the internets, as we do, I came across Julia Ewart. And I really thought that she was just one of those people. If you've ever read that Malcolm Gladwell book, the one about 10,000 hours. Oh, what is the name of the book? Okay, I don't know. You guys will tell me. But it's the book where basically he talks about you become an expert by working 10,000 hours in that subject. What I thought was really interesting about Julia is she has been in sales for a really long time and trained people for a really long time, both on a corporate level and an individual level. And she's the type of person that actually has those 10,000 hours. And I always like to learn from people like that because I guess, no offense to kind of the more new age, even myself, like it's kind of like, oh, can I say this? It's kind of like when you see somebody in the kitchen and it's like this old Italian guy who's like overweight, but like he has the best spaghetti and meatballs. Like I want to eat Italian from that guy. Do you know what I mean? Like he's been in the kitchen with mama for a long time. Like that is what I want. I don't want 17-year-old super skinny guy, that Italian shop. I know. That's probably, am I going to get canceled for that? I don't know. David is helping me with the book Outliers. Let's get back on track. David is helping me with the book Outliers. And Outliers is a Malcolm Gladwell book where he talks about you spend 10,000 hours on something, you become an expert. And so Julia is one of those people that has really been in the trenches with those 10,000 hours. The only problem with learning from Julia is Julia doesn't live in the United States where I live. She also does not live in Europe, which is like, you can kind of make it work with the time change. Julia lives in Australia, which I think is like 15-hour difference. Basically, like when I'm awake, she's asleep. When she's awake, I'm asleep. And so I really wanted to have her join us, but obviously I did not want to make her be awake at 2 a.m. And I didn't think it was fair for you and I to reset our standing coffee to reschedule for 1 a.m. instead of 1 p.m., which is what we normally do. So I stayed up a little late. Julia got up a little early and we found a time to meet. And so I kind of put together some questions that I thought were really poignant to ask her. I loved her answers. We probably ended up talking for like, I don't know, over an hour, but I pulled out all the juicy stuff for you. And so what we're going to do is we're going to kind of talk about some struggles that I've had, maybe you've had when it comes to sales and presenting. And then we're going to kind of roll a little like 2 or 3 minute quick hit of Julia answering that question. And then you and I will kind of talk about our answers and go back and forth. Full disclosure, if you are new here, we have never done this before. I know you picked quite a first day to join. We have never done this before. We have always learned from people in person, IRL, as the kids say, in real life. So this is our first time doing a not IRL learning. So we're going to see how this goes. If we all hate it, we never do it again. If we love it, we make very few exceptions for people who are in very far-flung places of the country and the globe and the universe that would like to join us. So, you know, we're going to see how it goes. But the first thing that I wanted to really dig into with Julia, and I'm sure you have faced the same thing as well, is how to kind of dig out of that small talk that's sort of like, how are you? Good. No, how are you? That I feel like you get at every networking event, that I feel like you get at every holiday party, that I feel like you get at every kind of end of year event function that doesn't really get you any details. It doesn't get you farther with the other person. It doesn't get you farther in terms of discovering more about them, whether it's a client or a coworker or a boss. So really just kind of how to ask better questions, how to ask better questions, how examples of what those questions could be. I also gave kind of one of my favorite ways to kind of dig for information, not a creepy way. We're not creeping people out, but dig for information in a way that's like interactive that you can learn from. So I'm super curious as you listen to this, kind of what questions come up for you, what things come up for you, and what solutions you might have to kind of stop that simplistic sort of like, how are you? Fine. No, how are you? Fine. Like, we don't want that anymore. It's not helpful and we don't like it. So without further ado, let's see what Julia had to say about getting out of this really dismal, not helpful small talk.
And so in Australia, which is where I am, we wouldn't say, how are you? Our phrase is, how are you going? It's a short version of how are you going? We just say it in one word, which is literally, how are you going? Or hey, Gan. And so people don't stop and say, well, actually, thanks for asking. I'm really glad you inquired about my well-being today. Like no one cares. We just follow with, hey, I'm good, thanks. How about you? And you go, yeah, I'm fine, thanks. Good thanks tells us nothing. Do not be good thanks. Good thanks doesn't do anything. So again, this is an open question, but it's transactional. It doesn't give us anything. It does nothing. So what we should be doing is asking better questions. Hey, Kim, what have you got planned for the weekend ahead? Monday morning, What's something cool you got up to on the weekend? Hey, what did you do on Saturday night? Sunday night? What are evenings like on your weekends? Ask a better question. When you're talking to a human, you can ask a better question. And you know, the classic is, you know, if you have a child or if you've ever spoken to a child over the age of 5 or 6, how was school today? Good. What did you learn? Nothing. And again, these are open questions, but they're transactional. So I never ask my kids, how was school? What did you learn? They're lame questions. We want to ask powerful questions. Tell me something funny about school today. Tell me someone who got in trouble today. Tell me what's in your school bag that you brought home. Oh, you got some homework. Tell me what your homework is. This is far better than saying, do you have homework? Of course they have homework. So we just have to ask better questions. So again, it's a long answer to a short question, Kim. When can we practice this? When you're talking to a human. We want to ask tactical questions. Tactical questions are open, but they allow people to share way more than just good thanks.
Well, and you really, because especially at the end of the day, it really feels like to me after watching the course, you know, on the powerful questions, you're really on like an information mining mission. Like the more information that you can extract after leaving a conversation, the better that conversation was. And so I feel like these types of questions are really good about digging in. And I would also say, you know, something that I think I've really picked up in sales, I've had my own company now for 15 years, is getting those little pieces of personal information are key. Because when you ask somebody, you know, things like, I'm making this up, but did you watch any sports this weekend? And then you find out, oh, turns out Julia and her husband really love Real Madrid and they played this weekend and they won. You can kind of either A, stash that away in your brain, or B, in like, you know, HubSpot or Notion or wherever you take notes, you know, you can put a little note that says, you know, Julia and Julia husband, Real Madrid, you know, big fans or something like that. And it gives you, a little nugget of information that next time Real Madrid has a big win or, you know, comes back from behind, it kind of gives you an excuse to either maybe reach out to that person or kind of connect with them on a deeper level. And I feel like sometimes people are so eager to kind of jump into the good stuff, like, okay, we're jumping into the work part, that they don't realize that sometimes those 5-10 minutes before a meeting or those 5-10 minutes after the meeting ends are actually really great ways to kind of mine for that information.
Yeah, you're spot on. Kim, it's funny you say that. So in the company that I run, I have a small team, we teach a repeatable sales process. So we set companies up for a process for how to close an opportunity. It's step-by-step customized to everyone we work with. In every single process we customize, we build in, it's funny you say 5 to 10 minutes, we build in 5 to 7 minutes of what we technically call chit chat. And so this is the opportunity to have some conversation about non-work related anything. And so we arm our clients with specific open-ended tactical questions to learn about them and build connection. Whether it's you talking about your kids, your hobbies, your weekend, what frustrates you, what's floating your boat right now, something that you're looking forward to in the weeks ahead. We have school holidays coming at the end of tomorrow. So what people's plans are, even just to do the parent, how do you do the juggle in school holidays with the kids and the work? So there are lots of opportunities for us to connect. And again, this 5 to 7 minutes of the chit chat at the beginning of the conversation puts us in a position to go right back to where we started today, Kim, to build that trust. Trust equation, credibility plus reliability plus intimacy. Intimacy is simply that connection, that likability. Do not ever underestimate that chance to connect with somebody. I get asked all the time, do we do the chit chat, Julia, or do we not do the chit chat? Do the chit chat. This is the most valuable part of the process because we humanize it. It's just Kim and Julia having a chat. Oh, by the way, Julia might be able to help me with something while we're here. And if you like me, the research tells us, you are much more likely to partner with me. No one's that powerful that you can make someone buy from you. But we tend to buy from people that we like.
It's so true. You really do. I've always said, this is like my one thing that I talk about in business all the time, is that people do business with people, not presentations. I'm not doing business with your PowerPoint presentation. I'm doing business with you. And Jen kind of touched on it earlier that it's humanizing. It's humanizing to know what somebody's, you know, favorite team is, or maybe what's a new album that came out, wink, wink, at Giacomo this weekend, and what somebody's favorite song might be off of that new album. So taking that time, and what I thought was so critical was, here's Julia, somebody who has, again, gotten those 10,000 hours, tried a million different kind of steps in the process. And the fact that she purposely, as part of her process, builds in a 10-minute chit chat, that tells me it's not just some throwaway. It's not something like, oh, if you get to the meeting and chit chat, that's great. Or, oh, if you stay late after the meeting and chit chat, that's great. No, no, no. It's actually part of the process, a very necessary part of the process. It'd be like going to make an apple pie and you don't put in butter. Pie's not going to taste very good. So I loved that it was part of her process, not just, you know, some added on thing that, you know, we kind of do. I love that Jen calls, we could call it chit power, chit chat power, the power of the chit chat. I think that that is so key. And, you know, as part of that chit chat power, one thing that I sort of caught on that Julia said there was, you know, she was kind of lamenting how you need to ask better questions, ask better questions. But you know me, I'm like a dog with a bone. I could not let that lie. And I was like, okay, but how? Because one thing I feel like I always love that you and I do is, it's one thing to just like talk about platitudes, you know, we should all work out more, or like, we should get better at XYZ, but it's all about the how. Like, how are we actually going to do that? Like, what's my step-by-step, or what's my template, or what's my transcript, or what's my framework for thinking about this? And so I got really specific with Julia, where I was like, okay, you're saying we need to ask better questions. I get that. You're saying we need to practice asking those better questions. How? What are the frameworks for asking better questions? And where are places that we can start practicing these questions? So let's hear what she had to say.
So, but I'll talk about when you go to an event, or where there's, you know, multiple people, whether it's a coffee catch up with a group that you're in, whether it's a conference or a seminar that you're seeing, people struggle in networking to ask good questions. Everyone's standard question is, so the answer to, how are you guys busy? How's things going? You guys busy? Got a lot on? Oh yeah, we're really busy. You guys busy? Yeah, we're really busy too. What does busy even mean? So busy has a completely, I think they should just remove that word from the dictionary. It's completely lost its meaning. It means nothing. So make a small change. What's keeping you busy at the moment? What's that right. stopping you getting? What's that getting in the way of you really wanting to do? What would you prefer to be spending your time on? So when we're networking, people also feel pressure to tell or sell or pitch. And again, telling is selling. We don't want to sell. That's not great. So when we're networking and we're meeting people new, just come armed and prepared. Again, get your reps up with some really informal questions that are really low stakes. I'll free kick a few in for you. I've just got some classic go-tos. So I was at a conference yesterday that went for about 7 hours, good conference though, good. But the idea is that I watch people network, and I go, yeah, most people are crap at this. I just don't know what to say. So they say weird stuff and people respond with weird stuff and the conversation goes nowhere. So my classic go-tos are, hey, what would you ordinarily be doing if you weren't here right now? Where did you come from before today? What was your morning like before you got to the office or before you got to work today? For evening events, what would you be doing if you weren't here right now? And that gives me three categories generally people go to. So if it's an evening event, what would you be doing if you weren't here right now on a, you know, on a Wednesday night? They either talk about their family, their pets, or their hobbies.
Yep.
And either one of those is a wonderful conversation to have. And the second someone talks about their pets, which is what we did at the conference, showing pictures of our dogs. I have some pictures of my kids. I don't care to see someone else's kids. I don't care to show someone else my kids. I do want to see their dog though. And I want to show people my dog. So we're taking phones out. We're showing pictures of dog. Oh, look at my dog, because we got a puppy 3 weeks ago. Look at my puppy. So again, these are just common ways and easy, informal ways that we can connect without giving people your deepest, darkest secrets. And we're not trying to be best friends with anybody. I am very, very simple. I just want to have nice conversations with nice people. And if we come armed with some really informal but tactical questions, this allows us to have great conversation and connect and go, oh my God, Kim, you're quite great. And you'll go, oh, Julia, I think you're great too. We should coffee sometime. And we go, yes, that's a great idea. And then we end up in a conversation like this. Or we book something in and we meet at the coffee shop. So that's how the network builds. But it just starts with being armed with powerful questions to actually spark great conversations. So people think, oh my gosh, it was so nice talking to Kim. Wow. And then they reflect and go, actually, she just asked me really good questions. And we just connected about dogs or what we're watching on Netflix. The other, you know, the other one I watch is, what are you watching on? What are you binging right now that you'd recommend? People love recommending shows. So that's an easy, again, another really informal, low stakes something that you can ask. Or what are you reading right now that you'd recommend? What are you listening to? So these are all simple, informal, low stakes questions we can ask people, even in that chit chat phase when you're having a sale, before you have a sales conversation with someone. But this stuff really, really matters.
Not only does it really matter, I feel like I really loved Julia's kind of different approach to this, how we can get in deeper with these individuals. I was really surprised. I don't know if you could tell with my reaction there, but when she was saying specifically about the pets, again, I don't have a dog. So maybe some of you guys here have either a dog or a cat. And so I will ask you, my lovely animal owners, if you were at a conference or if you were at a work event and somebody asked you about your pet, like, do you have any pets, or, you know, can you show me a picture of your pet? Would you actually be excited about that? Or would you kind of be like, why is this person asking about my dog? Or like, why is this person asking about my cat? Again, I don't have a pet, so I don't know how excited I would be, but I thought that was interesting, because I felt like in terms of questions that I've heard before, I definitely have heard before, you know, what do you like to do on the weekend? Or if you weren't here, like, you know, at this holiday party or at this work event or at this networking conference or, you know, whatever it is, if you weren't here, what would you be doing? So I've heard that one before, but I thought the pets one was really, really interesting. And I'm glad Kelly is like, I love these sample questions, because that's something that I kept kind of drilling in with Julia over and over again, that I was like, but give us examples, like, kind of like, we want to copy your homework, you know, like in my head, I'm like, okay, I'm stealing the pet question. In my head, I'm stealing the, you know, what's something funny that happened to you today? That's the type of thing that I was like, I want to steal this from you. And that, I think, is like the uniqueness of Julia, was really being willing to give us actual examples and kind of having that template to steal, I think, is really helpful. James is saying, I had a sales call recently and we first talked about our dogs for 15 minutes before we got into the sales part. Afterwards, we shared pictures of our dogs via text. So proof is in the pudding, team. It seems like that is a real thing and not a hypothetical, because James has done it, did do it last week or in previous weeks. So it is something that works. And it is something that if you have a dog or really like pets, then maybe you should give it a go. And we have a lot of people who are like, yeah, Jen's like, I talk about my cat in my speaker and author bios. So yeah, Jim's like, I talk about my two dogs all the time. They actually seem to like me more than most people do. So, okay. So maybe you can steal that as homework from Julia, as a new question to ask at that work event, at that networking conference, at that holiday party, is to find connection with people by asking about their pets. One thing I also just kind of kept drilling into Julia about was really the types of questions that we could ask that would avoid those kind of yes or no answers. you know, the ones I'm talking about, and how to really build that credibility with others. And I kept drilling down with her on like specifics. So you'll kind of see my face here where I'm like, ah, because she starts moving very quickly. And again, we took all these notes for you. They'll be in the show notes of the podcast. They'll also be in the notes on our website. So we have all these because she starts being like, when, where, why, you know, she starts going through it very quickly. And it's like, ah, you know, you're like trying to write them all down, but we wrote them down for you. So no stress. You can just kind of sit back and listen. But I thought it was really, really kind of interesting how she phrased those questions. And I thought that was really cool. So let's hear what she had to say.
What are our three biggest opportunities right now? What's holding us back from those? What are some left of center things that we could do to actually help these prospects move forward? What are our key objectives that we're looking at to convert this one opportunity and that one opportunity over there? What do you think we're not seeing here that we get stuck in the weeds on every time where we need to elevate on? So again, just asking strategic questions or different style of questions can actually have people think, oh, these are really insightful questions. No one's ever asked us these questions before. We've never thought like this before. And that is a way you can actually increase your credibility without feeling like you have to have had 27 years experience doing something. We can just ask insightful questions.
Well, and I feel like that's such a good point in terms of the types of questions you're asking. I can remember back in college when I took a sales course, I can remember the professor, he had like this was back when we had chalkboards, but back on the chalkboard, he would have like this ruler that he would slap on it. And in the sales class, it would be what he would slap, what it would say is no, yes or no questions. Yes. Like that was his big thing. Like you never ask a yes or no question. Just like that was his kind of, that was the hill that he chose to die on that semester. Yep. But I feel like you just make such a good point because the creative ways that you can ask questions, anyone can do that. You could be an intern who's 18 years old. You could be 65 years old and be in business for 40 years.
And the important part about that to note, Kim, for lots of people, and I do this for a living, I teach people for a living how to ask great questions. It's hard. By nature, we default to those what you would call closed questions, those yes or no questions. We default to those questions. Closed questions start with words like is, are, can, do, does, have, has, had, could, should, or would. Any question that starts with those words is going to get you a yes or no. And whilst those questions aren't crimes, they're just not helpful. They're not helpful. We want to instead, like your professor says, we want to be asking open style questions, which start with who, what, when, where, why, how. And my favorite is tell me. But this is hard.
Yeah.
So for the 18-year-old who's still studying, through the university student, through to someone who wants to be in a VP role, these questions are hard. We need to get our reps up on them. So much like going to the gym, excuse me, to get good at something, you just need to practice it over and over again. I actually believe I'm a ninja at asking questions because every client we work with, every session we have, we spend 10 minutes in every session warming up, asking open questions. So I'm purely good at this because my reps, I've done more reps than anyone else. Not because I'm smarter than anyone else. I've just practiced more. And because we're running client sessions all the time, every day of the week, I'm doing 10 minutes a day practicing something that is seemingly not a big deal, but I can probably think of questions about any topic in the world and rapid fire them now only and it's simply because I've just got my reps up. That's the
exactly.
Only difference between myself and the 18-year-old. And I'm 47.
What do you tell people when they say like, okay, I love that, Julie, like I want to get my reps up. Obviously they're not going to do that necessarily in the sales pitch or in the sales meeting or at the presentation with a client. Where are some places like, you know, is it at brunch with your friends or is it when okay. You're talking to your mom on the phone? Like where are some places that people can practice this that I guess that are like lower stakes, like not at work?
So my answer to this, Kim, is refer to answer about Andy. If you're talking to a human, there is an opportunity to ask a question. If you're talking to a human, there's always an opportunity to ask a better question. Mm-hmm. So we should always, anytime we're talking, So, and you know, in my LinkedIn course, the one that I've just released, which is around how to ask powerful questions, not just, we don't want to ask lame questions. We want to ask powerful questions. So anyone can ask lame questions. And Kim, most people do. We don't want to be like most people. We want to ask really, really kick-ass questions. So asking powerful questions just takes a little bit more brain power. There is always a way we can ask a better question.
Always a way that you can ask a better question. You just have to dig into it a little bit more. You have to ask those open-ended questions. $50 to anyone who can remember that is what, how, there are like really fast ways to open questions. The only one that I remember and the one that I keep coming back to over and over again is the tell me. Tell me more about this. Tell me more about that. Tell me more about what you're working on, because it really prompts the other person to not only answer the question, of course, but to answer it in a way that they're excited about. You know, no one wants to talk about something boring. So if someone is really genuinely interested in something that you're working on at work or something that you have going on in your personal life, and they say, tell me more about that new sales project that you have that's going to close by the end of the month, it gives you an opportunity to be like, yeah, you know, it's really cool. We're doing this thing with AI and we're partnering with another team, you know, on a different floor, and we're collaborating, and, you know, just gives you the ability to really fill in the blank, which I thought was super interesting. And you heard that Julia mentioned her new course that just came out, and it was all about how to ask powerful sales questions. So I watched the course because I'm a super nerd and I really wanted to dig deeper into this topic. And one of the things that she specifically talks about in the course, wait, I just have to laugh for a second. James is like, tell me more about your dog. Going back to combining like the pet questions with the tell me more. Tell me more about your dog. Tell me more about how your dog, you know, escaped his fenced in enclosure again this week. I had to do a little giggle about that. But anyways, I was watching Julia's course and kind of sinking into it a little more. Julia touched on something which I know gives me the heebie-jeebies and it might give you the heebie-jeebies, and that is talking about money. And if you are in a workplace, even if it's internal with budgets within teams or external with clients around what they have the budget for or what they're able to allocate in terms of resources or even time, it can be sort of an awkward conversation. I'll give you an example because it's fresh in my mind because it just happened yesterday. And this client called and was asking me to work on something that they needed for the beginning of November. And I said to this client in what I thought was a very nice way, let's have some real talk, as I call it, some real talk. You're going to have to approve something in the next like 7 days. And I didn't say this to them, but I thought it, like, you're not the fastest of my responders in the email space. So I'm thinking to myself, 7 days to you, 7 days might be like, Kim, I can make a decision in 7 days, no problem. But this person was a little bit like, a little nervous about those 7 days. So I was like, you know, I'm more than happy to work on this. You know, we can come through, we can come up with a great idea, but like, is 7 days even realistic for you? And it was uncomfortable. And so I think when you're talking about needing something from someone or budgets or money, that can be a little bit of an awkward conversation. And so one of the things that Julia really talked about, and I can't wait for you to see, is, and you might practice this already, I certainly don't do it enough, and that is the power of the pause. So I like to fill in dead space. I don't like dead space. So in that example with that client, it took every ounce of me to say to them, you're going to have to approve this by next Tuesday, whatever that is, October 12th. Is that actually realistic? And then pause. And then just like, not like, because, well, you know, I could see from my vendors if I could get an extension to at least that Thursday. Like, no, just ask the question. pause, even if it's for an uncomfortable amount of time, and wait for the answer. And I think that that's something that's just a really powerful tool that Julia kind of digs into a little bit more. And I'm glad that Jeff agrees that money conversations are the heaviest and jeebiest of all conversations that you could possibly have. It's like the Halloween of questions and decisions. It's like, oof, scary, spooky. We're gonna have to talk about money. But I'm really excited for you to kind of hear how Julia thinks about that, how to make it not awkward, and how to actually get helpful information. So let's dive in and see what she said. Yes, definitely.
Okay. When I get objections, Julia is also a bit shitting herself. So I'm just like everyone else. I'm not magic. And I, you know, even in a sales conversation with someone yesterday, I said, I'm not that powerful or magical that I can make anyone buy from me. It is important, I said, to have a conversation about price. So if it's okay, we should do that. Price is really important. Yeah. And I watched their body language change and react to that. And they were like, oh, yeah. Well, yes, of course we should talk about price. Some people are weird talking about money. If you're in business, you cannot afford to be weird talking about money. We have to make our prospects feel comfortable talking about money. And so we're going to say that out loud. So when you talk about your go-to phrases, I'll come back to that one, Kim. But people, when they're talking about objections, quite often they go into the category of it's price. Yeah. Too expensive, not enough value. It's cheaper somewhere else. I can find, you know, so this is generally, I'm not saying that it's often the correct objection, but it's frequently the one that people most fear.
Yeah.
And so we're going to set that up with the prospect. So if they express some concerns around price, we're going to welcome the conversation. But even going back a step, welcoming the conversation has to put us in a position where we can be confident around our price, and then we pause. So again, if I'm selling something that's $2,000, $50,000, $300,000, whatever the amount is, I'll say $100,000 just for the example. So if I'm having a conversation with you, Kim, and we've gone through a deep discovery and I've understood what you've needed and I've provided some recommendations, and you say, Julia, could we talk about what the investment for that would be? And I would say something like, yes, Kim, when we traditionally do work like this, the cost for that generally starts at about $102,000. Can I ask you, what do you make of that, Kim, when I share that figure with you? How does that sit with you? So I'm going to land the number. So yeah, traditionally our work for that starts at around about $102,000. Kim, can I ask you, how does that sit with you? I'm not asking if you want to buy. I'm not asking if you want to buy. I'm not pushing a contract and a pen across the table to you. I'm just asking, how does that sit with you? You can take that in whatever direction you like. I have to know the answer to that question before I can proceed, because if this is a non-starter, essentially I'm going to say to you, just tell me now. So we had to get to that. So again, there's so much on this topic that we can talk about, Kim. When we talk about objections being a green light, we have to be able to receive objections and talk them through if we want to be able to proceed to closing opportunities. Because if I'm talking to you as a genuine prospect, and if my services are $102,000 or my products, whatever, or it's $10,000 or it's $5,000 or it's $200, I have to be in a position where I can share with you in that conversation, well, Kim, you know, this product that you're looking at, this costs $280. Can I ask you, how does that sit with you? I have to know how that sits with you.
Yeah, exactly. You have to know that so that you can proceed either forward or rework what you're going to say or come at it from a different angle.
And if you're in a category that you say, oh my gosh, Julia, we have never paid $280 for a highlighter pen.
Right.
I need to know that now, because exactly. I want to have a conversation with you about that. Because if we leave this conversation and you're taking that with you and I don't get the chance to talk that through, well, maybe I could have helped with something else. Maybe there was a different solution for you that I could have helped with. Maybe there was a way that we could come to an agreement with something else. So exactly. Handling objection is about being confident around your price, putting some pause or some space in there for you to share with me what do you make of that and how does that price sit with you. And you might say, oh, you know what, Julia, we've not paid $280 for a pen before. But you know what? It's not offensive, but it's just more than we paid. That's good for me to know. Or you might say, well, that's wildly outrageous, Julia. We would never do that. Also helpful for me to know. So the first part to the objection handling is being able to be confident around your offer and then pausing to ask, what do you make of that? Or how does that sit with you? It's not, would you like to buy? It's just, tell me what's on your mind about that.
I loved that. It's not really asking, can you afford this? Or do you want to buy this? It's even just asking, how does that sit with you? And watching that back, you know, something that, like I said before, I've had my business now for 15 years. And one sort of tip that I'll give you that I think works really well and has worked well for me the last 15 years is twofold. Sometimes I will have people that will come to us and they'll say, you know, Kim and Abby, I want your best ideas. I want your biggest ideas. I want your brightest ideas. You know, give me them all. And I'll kind of say, okay, amazing. Like, what's your budget? And they'll be like, there is no budget. Like, just the best idea that you can come up with, the brightest idea. And I'm always like, ma'am or sir. And so what I will say to them is I'll say, okay. I'll say, totally hear you on you want a big, cool idea. We're going to give you a big, cool idea, but I don't want to give you, and this is the same phrase, I've used it for years and years. I've always said, I don't want to give you Mercedes-Benz ideas on a Honda Civic budget, because it does two things that I've learned the hard way. If you present ideas to a client that they cannot afford, they're instantly sad. It's like, I don't know, showing someone a cool vacation with slip and slides and whatever, and then you know they can't afford it. It's like, well, why did you even show them that? That like got them excited. They saw themselves on the slip and slide. And now you're like taking that away. And instead it's, a pool at a hotel with no slip and slide. You know, it's like, they're instantly sad because you showed them what was possible and now they don't have it. And so it instantly makes them sad. And then number two, it puts you on the defense of now you're trying to like get them excited again. So instead, I always say to people, and again, even if they push back and say, well, there is no budget, I will then come up with, again, to Julia's example, like something kind of extreme, like, okay, so if I find you a cup that is a $75 cup, are you going to be okay with that? And of course, they're like, $75 for a cup? Absolutely not. That's insane. You know, the most that we would ever pay for a cup is $20. And then in my head, I go, okay, got it. Like now you have helped me find a budget range that I'm going to bring you ideas for cups that are within $15 to maybe $30, you know, a little bit over here, a little bit over there, finding something in the sweet spot. So, you know, to echo Jen, it's terrible when you present these sort of like big ideas and then somebody's like, oh, but I can't afford that. And a lot of times, going back to Julie's point, just asking the right questions, even the people that are like, but I have no budget, like I just want it all. Like, it's so great. They do. There's something in their mind that when you say it, they'll go, are you crazy? $75 for a cup? Like, you've lost it. Like, there's a screw loose. So even the people that are like, it's meaningless. It's not. And then likewise, when I give that example of like, are we talking about a Mercedes-Benz or a Honda Civic? It's also helpful because sometimes the opposite happens. So I've had clients who say, you know, normally I'm on a Honda Civic budget, Kim, but you know what? My boss has said that our budgets refill on December 1. And if we don't use it, we lose it. So turns out with this project, I can actually afford $50 a cup when normally I would tell you, that's the most insane thing in the world. So it's helpful kind of on both ends of the spectrum. So obviously Julia's example was like, I think she was talking about like $250 for a pen or something like that. And obviously I'm talking about $75 for a cup, but you get the idea of kind of setting those really big extremes, whether it's an extreme that's really low or an extreme that's really high, you know, putting those extreme examples out there so that you can kind of hone in and get a better idea on what's realistic. And then, you know, kind of going back to even like my timeline example, you know, sometimes I'll say to clients, you know, when they say, oh, well, we approve things quickly. That's always one of my favorites. We approve things quickly. Well, quick, is it a New York minute? Because in New York, if you want to say you approve things quickly, that's like within the hour. Whereas like I grew up in Florida, I don't know if you call it the South, I would. So, you know, things in the South quickly might mean the next business day, you know? So words like quickly, they mean different things in different places. So, you know, just learning to ask clients, okay, well, when you say quickly, if I get you something to look at, can you get me an answer within an hour? And again, they might be like, yeah, no problem. Can get you an answer within an hour. Or they might be like, an hour? I have to show my boss. You know, my boss usually likes to sit with it for an afternoon. I got to get his feedback. Then there's no way I could get you feedback in an hour. So again, just some more tactical examples for you to hopefully, you know, learn in your everyday life. And I'm glad that Giacomo is like, I love these behind the scenes. I have a lot of them. So maybe I should start sharing them a little bit more because they were hard earned in a bad way because I pissed off a lot of clients and I had a lot of missed deadlines. So I know this now because it cost me a lot of heartache. So I get it. The last thing that I went through with Julia was your favorite and mine, sort of like those speed round questions of copying her homework, sort of what things that she's like reading and listening to. Again, all these recommendations that she gives will be in the show notes, but I thought that these were really interesting as well and kind of fun for us to dig into. So let's see what she said.
Yeah. I'll give you something bite-sized every 2 days. It's really, again, informal and low stakes. Follow me on LinkedIn. The very first thing you can do is just follow or connect and or connect with me on LinkedIn. I post every 2 to 3 days and I give a bite-sized something on this topic. 98% of my posts are around sales and negotiation tips. 1% are about the random things. I went to this event. I ate a great meal. I've met someone nice, but 99% of what I post about is to help people improve their sales and negotiation skills with things from my repeatable sales system that I teach. That's the first thing you can do. Follow me on LinkedIn. Second thing you can do, again, bite-sized chunks, is do the LinkedIn learning course. I have two. The first one is around sales skills for people who don't like sales, essentially, or non-sales professionals. That is a 36-minute course. Again, bite-sized chunks. The second LinkedIn course is around, which is the one we're talking about today, Kim, how to ask powerful questions. I think that one is 58 minutes in total. It's about 15 videos. So again, 2 to 3 minutes, bite-sized chunks. And I actually am serious. I'm not being sarcastic. If you want to be good, watch those on repeat. Listen to them like your favorite song.
Yeah.
Because the better you get, the more you listen to these things, the more you get your reps up, the better you'll actually do in higher stakes opportunities when you can listen to the things in low stakes situations. Third thing you can do, I have got a book that I've written called From Pitch to Profit. Yes. This has all and any of my secretest of all the sources. So all my secret sauce is in this book. The coolest thing about it, look, it's not even that thick. So this book, I'm a couple of things that are probably the most common comments. It's been out for a year now. The first thing people say to me when they give me feedback on the book is, oh my God, it's really quick to read. It's really palatable. So it's on Spotify. It's not me reading it. But to read this book, it's like a 5-hour read tops. So you can do this on a domestic return flight. You can do this. You can bash it out on a weekend. Second thing people say, this is a really fun one. If they know me, they say to me, oh my God, Julia, I could hear your voice as I was reading the book. And the second thing, if they don't know me, which is most people that contact me, is they say, I feel like you are talking directly to me. So this book has actually been written, listener, for you. So that is a really palatable way that you can learn to set all my secret sources in that book. But if you want some bite-sized ways to learn, follow me on LinkedIn, do the LinkedIn learning courses, and also read the book.
So good, right? I loved that bit about Julia saying you have to revisit this over and over again, because I feel like that's something that you and I kind of go hard on all the time is, in a perfect world, yes, you would tell us something once, it would be like permanently lodged into our brain database and we could pull it up, no problem. But until they figure out how to put a computer chip in our brain, and even then I'm going to be a little dubious of it. I'll probably be like that 91-year-old who's like, don't put the chip in your brain, grandchild. Because like, hopefully we're not putting chips in our brain until I'm very, very old. But we do not have that endless processing power. It is something that we have to revisit over and over again. It's not a set it and forget it. It's one of the reasons why I pick, you know, several books, whether it's Atomic Habits by James Clear, or whether it's Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert. And every, you know, maybe it's year, maybe it's 2 years, I will reread those books. And people will always say, like, why are you reading a book you already read? Like, pick a new book. And it's because I need to revisit these things. So I love that one of Julia's tips is, if this is a topic that you are interested in, basically don't just listen to my course one time on LinkedIn Learning, set a reminder, you know, every month, listen to it, or, you know, every quarter, listen to it, like have it be something that just kind of becomes almost like a favorite song in your head, where instead of having to think like, oh yeah, what was that phrase? Oh, right. Tell me more. You just know it. Just like you know the lyrics to your favorite song, the minute those first kind of bars start playing, you know by repetition. So the more that you listen to something and the more you learn from it, I feel like that was a really great, and for me, sort of like justifying point, because it's something I feel like that you and I have talked about before. So then kind of hearing her say it was very reassuring, you know, as Jen's saying, you have to build those brain synapses and you have to build that muscle memory as a go-to. And so, you know, even Hiromi's like, yes, you know, rereading books. I'm not saying you have to reread every book, but I'm saying if there's one or two, like I mentioned mine, for mine, it's Atomic Habits, you know, that sort of 1% better every day, you know, starting with the small things and working your way up. And then something like a Big Magic, which is more about like creativity and kind of getting into the flow of life. I sometimes feel like I need a little tune up in that department. So I loved that. And so I'd be curious, you know, like I said, this is the first time we've done something like this. I'm so sorry if you're joining for the first time or listening for the first time, because you're probably like, what's happening here? We have never done this before. And that is because, again, Julia lived in Australia. You should all give her a follow on LinkedIn. Fun fact, I always find it kind of fun, is that I joke that like she's talking to us from the future, or at least me in the United States, she's talking from the future. So whenever she posts on LinkedIn and now it shows up in my feed, I'm always like, it's future advice from future Julia to like future me. Like that's the tidbit of the day from the future. Sadly, Julia has not posted any lotto tickets from the future. So it's just tidbits on powerful sales questions for now. But, you know, we'll take what we can get from the future. And so if you liked this, if you were like, this is interesting, maybe we will do one of these again. Because like I said, there's lots of experts and there's lots of really smart, talented people all over the globe. And so some of them can join us for coffee live, and some of them are asleep, so they cannot. But I want to make sure that we still get all of their goodness. So if you found this helpful, let us know either in the chat, or if you're listening to this on podcast form, maybe send us a message on LinkedIn or Instagram. Shelby and I would love to hear kind of what you thought of this, if this was helpful. If it was helpful for you, Maybe share it with a friend who also might be needing a little bit of help when it comes to asking good questions, asking those interesting questions, and getting into more budget and sales talks as we round out the year, because I think that's just something that we're all going to go through. So we might as well get better together with it. As always, for future sessions, you can always head over to getcoffeewithkim.com and you can see our full laundry list for the rest of the year. By the way, we're not going to do this again, I promise. Well, this is just a trial run. We got live humans for the rest of the year. You know, if you like it, maybe we'll bring it back in 2026, but we have live humans with us for the foreseeable future. So you can go to getcoffeewithkim.com. We can send you a calendar invite, you know, throw lots of different things on your calendar so you do make sure that you don't miss a session. But if you miss a session, no worries. You can pick us up on any of your favorite podcast networks, whether that is Apple, Spotify, Overcast, you know, whatever it is for you. I will also share a few more behind the scenes as we move through these next couple sessions, because it sounds like that might be helpful. So I love that Hiromi said, "Oh my gosh, I didn't even realize this wasn't live. I was on a call." Movie magic. Okay, perfect. That's like the highest compliment I think we could get, was that you didn't even realize that it wasn't live. So amazing. We love that. Thank you so, so much. Again, I hope you have a beautiful rest of the week. If I could pick one homework assignment for you, although I know Julia did as well, my powerful homework assignment for you would be to try one of these questions, whether it is, you know, show me a picture of your pet, or tell me more about XYZ, or tell me something funny that happened to you today. Try one of these on your friends, or maybe it's the barista at the coffee shop over the weekend. Give one of these a go. Let me know how it goes. I'm so, so happy that you were able to join here. Big thanks to Keith and Jeff and Giacomo and Jen and Hiromi and Shelby and James and Keith, and just, we had so many good people, Aaron, so many good people here today. So thank you guys all for your tips and tricks and tactics. I really appreciate it. And I will see you next week. Same time, same place. Have a good one.
Whew, that was some good stuff. Thanks for being a part of this week's Coffee with Kim. If podcasts are your thing, subscribe to the show and you'll see a new episode appear next week in your favorite listening app. If you want to be a part of the conversation, join us live on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern over on LinkedIn. You can RSVP at getcoffeewithkim.com. I want you to have your questions answered, because why should I get to have all the fun? And let's be honest, you know how to ask some hard-hitting questions. My guests and I cannot wait to meet you. See you soon.